For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
Thank you. And go Bears.
And thank you. And thanks Mike Florio. And thanks Robert Mays. Thanks, Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, all the people doing the things that they did. Tomorrow, I believe Marshall Harris is going to be in with me, and nice. I think this team here now for Score Afternoons is going to be tomorrow's team as well, from what I understand. Matt Spiegel and the person that Mark really refers to as Popo. I didn't know
whether she likes it or not.
For me.
Yeah, that is
Ruthie Popo.
Ruthie Polinsky of NBC 5 Sports.
What up, Ruthie?
Woo-woo.
What up?
I'm back.
Dan and Mark, hello.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know what's weirder, that we asked Ruthie to come back or she said yes as quickly as she did.
Or me offering, like, anytime. Anytime, guys.
Well, we had a good time. On it. We had a good time last week.
We did have a lot of fun.
You guys were great together. I do want to ask you before we get rolling here.
Because she knows her stuff, as you know, Mark.
I know she does.
Yeah.
You guys were dancing in the hallway. I did see that, so I need clarification, and then we could talk sports.
The things that happen outside of the studio, Mark Grody,
yeah.
should stay outside
not
of the
studio.
No, no, no.
No, that's not
we'll
here.
We'll dance in here, baby. Not here.
That one thing you know that does not happen here.
It was an intra-show activity.
Okay.
No, right. It was just, it was getting in touch with gratitude.
Getting fired up.
Right? I was telling you the story of how I, when I was living in Los Angeles and I was unemployed and essentially homeless and couch surfing for a while in 2008, I had been going to play tennis at this like place in Burbank, California. This like drop-in tennis, $15 every time you go. No, it wasn't fancy. It was just a little community place. $15 every time you go, you play for 2 hours in a beautiful spot, right? Eventually, I couldn't afford to go anymore. And I told the guy, like, yeah, this will be my last time for a while. And this older, like, chubby Armenian guy, the guy in charge of tennis there said, you need to play. You come. I don't care about money. You come. And for about 4 months, he let me show up twice a week and just play drop-in tennis. And I should have been in a depressed period in my life, but I was not for a variety of reasons, one of which was playing tennis in the sun, baby, at the foot of the mountains. And I was telling Ruthie that story, and she started to dance, and we started to dance.
And that
That's
man
what it
was Andre Agassi.
No, but about a year and a half later, after I got the job with Dan McNeil starting here, I went back and I went and found him and gave him like $400.
Oh, that's great.
That's really nice.
And he was like super appreciative, and I played tennis that night and a couple other nights.
That speaks to the kind of person you are, Matt.
That speaks to the kind of person that he was.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to pay that back, man. Dude did me a major solid.
I don't care what you said about being a fake good guy yesterday. I think you're just a good guy. I erase the fake right now. You're a good guy, Matt Spiegel.
Anthony Herron admitted that he was a fake good guy.
I couldn't believe that. That was funny. Like, he was pretty sincere about it, too.
He was.
He's like, yeah. I am.
He was sort of proud. He was sort of proud of it.
I would disagree with that. I would disagree with that.
You know, I was surprised, Ruthie. I was surprised.
Right, so I told Mark that if Rome Odunze plays this week, I owe him a crisp $1 bill.
Mm.
I understand what they're doing. He was week to week, and now they're saying he's day to day. He's not going to practice today. He could play. There's no possible way a rookie receiver this valuable coming off of a grade one MCL. I know he's young, he probably heals fast, but it would seem almost reckless to play him.
I think that's true. I think that's true. You've got options. While I don't love the options at wide receiver, especially if Keenan Allen is still banged up, I think Tyler Scott will be active. I think even if Rome was going to be healthy, I think they were going to end up making Tyler Scott active and Velus Jones inactive, or Khalil Herbert inactive, one of those two situations. But also you've got the Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett thing. You could use different personnel this week, if need be.
If need be. I think, obviously, what happens with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore is going to dictate probably what you do with Rome, but I do feel like there's an element of trying to play this a little bit safe here. There's, if you got the guys, you've... I always like to remind people, remember that if Atlanta wouldn't have been dumb in the draft, you probably wouldn't have had Rome Odunze. So you were going to be set with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen anyway.
There's a part of me that is, I mean, I want everybody healthy. I want everybody out there. But I think it's going to be okay. Let's just say it's DJ Moore out there and you got Tyler Scott and DeAndre Carter, another guy who's probably going to get... Like, the idea of establishing something with DJ Moore, and I guess that would be a form of, if he does need an adjustment in terms of simplifying things, just look for DJ Moore. Because it is something, of the things that Justin Fields was successful at, he was very successful in getting the ball and running up big numbers with DJ Moore. I think that would be important. I think that those two connect. I want everybody healthy. Like, it's better with everybody, but I think there could be a good side to it, and that you establish something with at least one of those wide receivers.
By the way, you're listening to Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Station. Ruthie, give it up. I'm the best at ID that there's ever been. You know, a lot of people have skill sets in radio. Mine is the legal ID.
Pretty good. That's such a Hawk Harrelson kind of observation of a notice. But lesser important radio skill.
Best ever.
I'll tell you something, DJ. I never seen one better than a legal ID, right? In that exact slot where it's supposed to be.
So, would your money be here on a turn the page Wednesday as we start looking ahead to the Texans game with intention? Would your money be on Velus Jones active, Khalil Herbert active, or one of them inactive? Because to me, one of the two of them has to be inactive.
Ruthie, I think Velus is inactive this week. What do you think?
Why is he on the team then?
Well, that's a good... Yeah, right. Would something even worse happen for Velus this week?
They still put him out there after the kickoff.
How can you justify it this week? It's got to stop. It's ridiculous. It's not on Velus. Like, I'm not even mad at Velus anymore. This is on Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, whomever the personnel decision makers are. You got to stop it. You got to stop putting that guy out there.
He is a hazard. I mean,
Eloy Jimenez, like a danger to himself and others.
I think everyone was rooting for him after we got to know him a little bit better in Hard Knocks.
Yes.
I think he's an easy guy to root for, just his personality and the ferret and all the things. But I think when you put up, I mean, they almost lost the game because of you, Velus. Like, that was the game. But it could have been.
But that's just it. Like, you said, yeah, Velus, you lost the game. And I have gotten mad at Velus in games, but I can't anymore because they keep putting him in these precious spots.
Yeah, at a certain point, responsibility shifts.
All right, should I do the list? That I gave you?
Oh, yeah, let's see if they can get it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You may have seen this, but I'm going to read you a list of names, and it's germane to this discussion.
Joe.
In
Joe
particular.
Germaine Dye, actually.
And you tell me what these people have in common.
Stop teasing Germaine.
2002, Roosevelt Williams. 2007, Dan Bazine and Michael Okwo. 2009, Jerron Gilbert and Joaquin Iglesias. And then 2011, Gabe Karimi. 2012, Brandon Harden.
Oh, wow.
That is the list.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Those are Bears draft picks.
Correct. That is, yes.
Those are Bears draft picks who were inactive week two. I don't know.
Those are Bears draft picks all taken in rounds 1 through 3 whose careers didn't last 3 years.
Wow.
Now, which player on the Bears are they referencing?
And this was Brad Biggs's mailbag responding to a question about Velus Jones.
Wow. So Bears have cut bait a ton of times historically with somebody.
Is that a ton? I don't see. That's the thing. I'm not sure if that's a long list, a short list.
You know, it's interesting. I guess it's not a ton. It is more common lately. I feel like I've seen it lately around the league a little bit more, but maybe just those moments are glaring. You know, it's interesting, but I'm thinking of those names. Did anybody have the kind of obvious skill set that still remains with Velus Jones? I mean, this is the thing. He's that big. He's that fast. It's tantalizing the way they were talking about him.
I think it was Matt Eberflus. Was it a game breaker? Game changer? Is that what was the phrase that Matt used in the...
Today?
Hard Knocks.
Talking about him.
They were banging on the table.
They're desperate to find a spot. Yeah. What it reminds me of is all those years, Dan, where... we were looking for a spot for Devin Hester.
That's an extreme example.
But
yes.
There is a glow to the Devin Hester conversation that did not exist for the first 5 to 6 years of his career until the roster spot was so clear that it deserved to be there for just him as a specialist. They tried him at corner and failed. They tried him at wide receiver and failed.
He was tried at running back.
He was the number one wide receiver 1 year, and Jay Cutler said he doesn't have go up and get it skills, which is where Guagi was born. I mean, it's like, seriously, that was the moment where Guagi was born. Mm-hmm. But Devin was a tantalizing talent. They couldn't find a position for him at Miami, and they couldn't find a position for him with the Bears.
They couldn't find a high school.
Right.
And that went back for him forever. But every one of these guys had at least something. I remember that Jerron Gilbert jumped out of a pool.
He was a hell of an athlete.
I remember that Joaquin Iglesias was similarly known as an explosive talent. Brandon Harden had one of the best bodies I've ever seen on a defensive back. I mean, just carved. Wasn't any good at football and couldn't move all that well, but my God, he looked like a jeans model. And Gabe Kareemi was supposed to be smart and responsible and big, but he hurt a lot.
I was excited about Roosevelt Williams too until he was. Hey, give me this. I was excited about Roosevelt until he made an interception and then somebody came from like 20 yards back to tackle that man. We're all like, what? Where's the speed, man?
Run that way.
No. Where's the speed?
Don't you dare. Don't you dare underestimate Mark Grody's ability to get excited about the Bears.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's delightful.
Even when I wasn't in the media, I remember...
Oh, especially when you weren't.
Oh, especially. But I'm just talking about preseason games. I remember my buddy... My buddy Fez, one of my best friends. We were
never going to do it without him on.
That's Fez, right. Like that 70 show?
Yes, like that 70 show. Yes, my guy Fez. We were hanging out downtown to watch a Bears preseason game. I don't remember what era it was necessarily, but I remember him saying, come on, dude, let's get the hell out of here. I'm like, no, man, this is a Bears preseason game. We are not leaving. So, yes, I am crazy or was crazy about Bears preseason games.
Ruthie, the first couple of times that Dave Wanstead came in the studio on the radio station, and it was at the other place, wasn't it? Was it NBC Tower?
Maybe it was here on 12.
It was here on 12, and the layout was different because there was like a little bullpen where the hosts and update folks, when updates existed, used to hang out, and Grody used to go over there. I remember, and Wani was here. You were so excited that Wani was here. And we joked, I think you brought it up, and you joked that you were going to show up wearing your foam finger
one day. Because it's on his hand?
Yes.
Listen, okay. I still get that excited when I see Dave Wanstead to this day.
I've always had a soft spot for him for one reason. One of my favorite Bears games ever, and look, I watched the 80s, but 94, when they go into Minnesota and win a playoff game, I was like, that was such an exciting day for me, and Wanstead was part of it. So,
God, I have score brain because I immediately think of Jeff Graham.
Yes,
and then
Curtis
Conway. And then I think of Bobby Knight saying, if you're not going to recover, Jeff Graham.
Greg Graham.
I know.
Oh, Greg Graham.
So were you starstruck like the time Bono was here and Chris Ranji was just, he didn't even know how to handle himself because Bono was here? Remember that?
Who didn't know how to handle
Ranji.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah,
Ranji's like, oh, Bono. I'm within 100 feet of Bono.
I can't get mad. I'm the same way with him about rock stars. So.
Really?
Oh, you should have seen Ranji at the Pearl Jam concert. Oh, man. He had a few. Yeah, you're right.
Were you hanging with Ranji?
Well, yeah, he was in a different section than I.
But you could see him from where you were.
No, he came over with one of his buddies. And there were seats around us. So we got it was a blast. I mean, we had fun. But Ranji, he was late for the show. I'm like, you idiots. You don't show up late for a Pearl Jam concert. You don't do it.
He's too cool. Like, because you don't get starstruck anymore.
Sure I do. Absolutely. I'm trying to think of the last time I was. I don't know.
Yeah, because you're with Rockstar. You hang out with Rockstar.
No, man.
Eddie Vedder? You hang out with Eddie? Yeah,
of course. Of course you do.
All right, Ruthie, any time where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just walked onto a plane and sitting in first class with so-and-so.
Or somebody you've interviewed.
I got one. I kind of was starstruck, and I was walking on a plane, and in first class, this is what made me think of it. In first class was Cody Rigsby from Peloton. Does anyone
from ride what?
Peloton? He's a Peloton instructor.
Is he a CEO?
No, he's an instructor.
Peloton, I bet my wife
Cody
knows
Rigsby. Yeah. Oh, man, I'll be so happy if anyone listening is of Cody Rigsby,
because
this is just two very different demographics that feels like people who listen to The Score, but he's...
That's awesome.
Sorry about all the old
what
men you're working with right
about?
Now.
Yeah.
Come
Peloton
on, Polinsky.
That was one.
You don't think I use the Peloton twice a day? What are you talking about?
When I covered the first F1 race in Miami, when I was working at NBC6 Miami, there were so... It was the who's who of celebrities. I mean, like, everyone wanted to be at that F1 race. I'm trying to... Paris Hilton. That was kind of crazy. Very short. Didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was smaller than I anticipated.
It's very disappointing, isn't it, when somebody is smaller than you expected them to be? I was actually disappointed when I met Eddie Vedder the first time years ago. I'm like,
that's cool.
Wait a minute, you're that small?
Yeah, Paris Hilton, that was crazy. Not that I was starstruck, but I was just like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
You know what happened with Paris Hilton when she was dating Brian Urlacher, right? You know that story?
No.
Oh, yeah, because they were a thing, and it was like, not quite like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but similar, sure, where the camera would find her in the box, okay, and the whole thing.
There was a picture of Paris Hilton getting a piggyback ride from Brian Urlacher on the cover of the Sun Times.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal.
And there was a lot going on because Urlacher kind of led an untidy personal life that it also involved Michael Flatley, the Lord of the Dance, and a lot of other things that were going on. So after...
Dave Grohl has entered the chat.
Yeah, talking about oversharing.
When we thought he was legit.
Sad, isn't it, Ray? It's sad, man.
It's a rock star.
Very sad.
I mean, that's a dude. I know it's a rock star, but still, it's like, there was integrity. There was a seeming appearance of integrity.
I've never seen a rollout of that, of like, I have a secret kid that I am revealing just in an Instagram post like that.
I'm gonna use my notes memo on my Android phone.
So Paris Hilton, after the game, she was gonna do an interview on The Score. So he came up with, had a phone. I forgot who the reporter was. Forgot who the reporter was, who came up and said, "Would you mind doing an interview over the phone on The Score?" And she said, "Okay." And it's like waiting, and then she says, "Give me a second," and she starts putting on makeup. And said, it's a radio interview.
This is not a real story.
Get it? The Emmys. Absolutely the Emmys. It is, yes, okay, true story. Like it's a radio interview.
Okay.
And I think she went on for like 30 seconds or something like that and then got bored.
Amazing.
But it happened.
Another more recent celebrity that I was a little starstruck, I got to do a little bit of sideline for the Bulls this past season. Adele courtside. That was like,
oh,
come
on. Strong.
Come on.
That's strong. Oh, that's right. Is she with Maverick Carter? No, she's with somebody.
Rich Paul.
Rich Paul.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Yep.
Modern day GOAT, kind of. I mean,
come on.
Right?
Does it get bigger than that? No. I mean, Taylor. Taylor is.
Speaking of GOATs, I don't know if anybody's read it, but I think it was New York Times, or might have been New York Times Magazine or something. An article, a long article about Ezra Edelman's documentary of Prince, which is not going to be released, apparently. Ezra Edelman, who made... You remember the OJ documentary, Made in America? The four-parter, the eight-hour?
Sure.
So that person, that guy who made that, Ezra Edelman, was given access to all of the Prince files in the vault at Paisley Park. And while he was making what is done now, a nine-hour documentary...
Hours.
The estate changed hands and is now under control of an entertainment lawyer who does not want the actual picture of the very human Prince, flaws and all, out there. So
more than very human, abusive.
Deeply flawed, but also deeply brilliant. So it's this nine-hour portrait of legit genius made by a loving but truthful filmmaker, which is right now trapped and may never see the light of day. Meanwhile, he's showing it to a ton of people. Oh, within the article, Questlove watches it and talks about it. Like, a ton of people who adore Prince have now had a chance to see it. Steve James, who did Hoop Dreams, and just like a documentary, Friends, etc. And it is supposedly a masterwork on an absolute genius that will probably never see the light of day.
Wow.
Fascinating to me.
How does it end up? Like, what's the conclusion? Does it make him look worse, or
it makes
better,
him it makes him make look him, human with some abusive, troubling stuff, and it explains, like, there's all sorts of stuff. There's a quote from Questo where he's talking about how one of Prince's lovers is saying, and this is the way he made love, which goes against the way that he was on stage. And Questlove is watching going, oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Like, so, like, all kinds of stuff. But it's like, if you're a Prince fan, or, you know, and it culminates apparently with the While My Guitar Gently Weeps guitar solo from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and what was actually behind the emotions of that. I mean, just reading it, I was like dying to see it.
Is this
but
why
we apparently never will.
You probably know somebody who knows somebody.
That's what it's going to be, is that it's going to be like, oh man, I got access. Here's a link. Don't give it to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's showing it and doing screenings, he just wants it out there. He wants it to be seen. So it will eventually get out. Probably.
Is this why...
It's Netflix that's getting cold feet now.
Caleb Williams was a little bit hesitant to appreciate the Prince Open from Tanny. Is
so
that, is
funny.
Is that what this comes down to?
I don't think he understood that we love Prince, and that was like a kind reference.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't think he got it.
That was supportive. It's like, hey man, it's cool. Yeah, people want to call you Prince. We're down with that.
Yeah.
Like, we're good with that. Yeah, I don't think he got that.
Nor Bears. He didn't get Bears either. But we're working on him. Yeah. We're working on him.
Duh, Bears.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That was
me. Not, that was not Caleb.
No,
that was me.
That actually was good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. No.
Love Tanny.
Me up.
I thought that was just a super high quality drop, and I like, whoa.
That was, okay. Love that by me.
Could you do it again?
No, don't ruin it.
Now the pressure is on.
You're that guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No.
It is The Score. The afternoon show is me, Speegs, and her, Ruthie Polinsky, today and tomorrow. Very much looking forward to working with Ruthie. Later on, we'll check in Houston on C.J. Stroud last year versus Caleb this year. We'll do that with Seth Payne from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Friend of the show, Pat Tomasulo, has his Laugh Your Face Off silent auction up, and some of the prizes are just amazing. Chris Emma will check in from Bears practice with tape. And when we come back, we're going to start the show with a quarterback research project I have assigned myself. It is off to a decent start, as inspired by both Kurt Warner and Tim Jenkins. So we'll start there in moments. That was Bernstein and Grody. It's Speegs and Ruthie. Tanny's Open kicks us off on Score Afternoons in a moment.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.